Good morning. I'll say this, the Lord be with you, but I trust that he is here. Well, we were going to be closing out our five-week study of fear and fearlessness. Things have changed, and God has brought us a new word this morning. So let's pray our way through this one, shall we? God of all, give us your word for this day, that we may take a collective breath, and then a collective step toward you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our scripture today comes from Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. Be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him. Provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you have heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. Yes, even I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. This is the word of the Lord. So there is this beautiful, almost hymn-like assertion of belief in this introduction to the letter of the Colossians. This assertion of belief is this: Jesus, the Christ, is the fully formed image of the invisible God. He is a partner in creation of all things. He has gone before all things and is the cosmic glue that holds all of this together. Jesus is the head of the body, the church, the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and the first in everything, supreme. Jesus is Lord. Christ's lordship is a theological claim that Jesus is Lord of all things. This word all, in its Greek form, pass, is found in almost every verse of this passage that we just read. It is quite literally all, the thread that runs through and binds this passage together. Jesus is Lord of all. No wonder this passage is structured like the stanzas of a hymn. You want to sing it. You want to have it float out of your tongue and onto your heart, to have it etched there, right there, on your right atrium, with the holy quill of a soldering iron. Only that would probably hurt, wouldn't it? The sparks would singe each artery that they landed on, the etching of your heart, the inescapable pain of 1,000 needles. this confession of faith and belief is not easy, nor is it pain-free, not for the Colossians and not for us. See, the Colossians, they questioned Christ's exclusive role of supremacy in their own backyard and thereby his role in the universe at large. Mostly they questioned because when dealing with the issue of security, false teachers taught belief spanning from cosmology to spirituality, arguing that all of the various spiritual powers of the universe must be taken into consideration. Yes, all of them, all of the spiritual powers that called upon these people deserved a voice according to these false teachers. That means their political affiliations, that means their weapons, that means their empire, and that means their violence. That also means the death that they had seen. Imagine that all of these powers are stuck in a jury deliberation where each of the 12 are holding their ground, swirling their paranoia and their propaganda around with no real goal of achieving verdict, rather only seeking to manipulate the other 11 in order to stay in that room forever with those other 11 under their control. This is artery-singeing, bone-rattling agony. Ultimately, we see that the allegiance to these powers results in the death of Jesus Christ, his grave being dug and dirt cast aside each time Jesus threatened one of the powers that the religious leaders found themselves shackled to, such as the empire, their political affiliation, even their religious affiliation. The acknowledgement that Jesus is Lord, though needed and meaningful, it does not allow us an escape from the agony of it all. The etching on our heart of the Lordship of Christ is a painful and bloody process. Where, O death, is your sting? It's on the Las Vegas Strip. It's in the Burnett Chapel Church of Christ. It's on Puerto Rico. It's in each and every hurricane and earthquake that we have endured. It is all around us. The stinging is relentless. Our security feels paper thin, and our faith is wavering. So Paul makes this bold claim about Christ's supremacy to counteract false teaching. And he could have left us there in the fact that this lordship of Christ, this etching of Christ's lordship is painful. Paul could have left us there, but he goes further. He pushes the Colossians through this jury deliberation from hell and out onto the other side, telling them that should they remain steadfast in faith and securely established, not wavering from the hope of the gospel, that there is reconciliation in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christ is Lord of all, yes, yes, and this is evidenced by his ultimate defeat of death. The crucifix is no longer the vignette. Rather, the vignette is a drafty and empty tomb. And so for us, the same is true. If we should remain steadfast in our faith, securely established on the firm rock that is our salvation, not wavering for a moment from the hope of our gospel, the hope that Jesus Christ rises up, maybe then we'll find ourselves also on the other side of death, resurrected with Christ. So tell us, where, O death, is your victory? Where is your victory? It's nowhere to be found. There is no victory in death. Death has been defeated. The grave has been opened. Jesus has defeated division and hate and violence and has revealed his true power. Jesus defeated it all and calls us all back into communion with God, communion with one another. He places our hands into one another's hands, comforts us, somehow pulls us through the hell of it all and out onto the other side where there lies the resurrection of peace, a taste of earth as it is in heaven, an everlasting hope. So who is Lord, Rehoboth? Who is Lord? Jesus, the risen Savior, or the agents of death in this world? Who is Lord? Jesus or our political affiliations? Who is Lord? Jesus Christ or the spiritual forces of evil in this world? Jesus Christ is the resurrected Lord of all, the agent of peace, the bringer of hope, the great comforter, the healer of all hearts, the fully formed image of the invisible God. He is the partner in the creation and recreation of all things. He has gone before all things and is the cosmic glue that holds all of this together. Jesus is the head of the body, the head of the church, the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, the first in everything. Jesus Christ is supreme. Jesus is Lord, and Jesus is alive. And it is on that claim that we must stand this day. Let's pray. God, give us the faith to take one step. Give us the strength to endure another. Give us the future of a hope. Grant us courage to be agents of your resurrected peace in this world, standing firm on the claim that Jesus is Lord of all. Leave us with serenity this morning, the ability to breathe. We love you and are forever indebted. It's in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that we pray. Amen.